It's the web's only podcast completely devoted to daily fantasy sports. Welcome to the Roto-Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix. Here's your host, Dan Bach.
What's going on, everybody? Thanks for checking us out. We're the Roto-Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix, presented by Daily Joust, the one podcast you're going to find giving you daily information about your daily fantasy teams. And of course, we also include some interviews and promotions, discussions, just stuff going on in the industry. So we're glad you checked us out, and we're with you each and every day for about 15 to 20 minutes. My name is Dan Bach. I go by DB730. You might see me out and about, play pretty much on every site out there. Not something I recommend to new players out there, but I got to kind of keep my myself aware of what's going on in the industry. And the best way for me to do that is to basically play in a bunch of different sites. So you might see me out and about. Definitely come and say hi into a chat box or something like that. But today on the podcast, not a whole lot going on in daily fantasy. And I say that because just a light schedule, just kind of one of those fluky days where every sport does not have a whole lot of games going on. NBA with six, NHL with three, and even college basketball Mondays, you know, they call them big Mondays, but it's like they only have three big games. And that's all that's on the schedule for tonight. But we'll go over NBA and college hoops here in just a minute. Also got a box beef from this weekend. Went to a very beautiful wedding. But in the process, you know, I kind of noticed some fashion faux pas. And I'm far from, you know, being like the queer eye for the straight guy type fashion sense, anything like that. That's not me. My wife watches enough of those shows where, you know, I pick up a tidbit here or there. But I'll rant and rave about that a little bit later in the podcast. But let's get it started looking at the light schedule that is the NBA. Okay, we only got six games tonight, so let's go up and down, give you some good analysis on helping you put your teams together in the NBA. Start out with the Magic. They play a host to the Timberwolves. And how about the game that Jason Richardson had? He's coming off a 31-point game where he was just lights out shooting the basketball. And in most cases, when an average guy comes out and has a big game, you know, the likelihood that he's going to do it again is not very good. You know, and you know, let's face it, Jason Richardson's a nice player, but, you know, when you're talking about three-point shooters, they're very streaky. And the likelihood that he's going to come back and, you know, have another, like, 9 3-point game is not too likely. But here's the thing. Jason Richardson averages an astounding 25 points per game against the Timberwolves this past season. So obviously he likes to play against this team and this defense. So maybe not a horrible play tonight, but kind of check where that salary is at on your site. I'm not a big fan of playing a player like him. As with a guy who I do like to take, his name is Dwight Howard. Now, he ends up eating up most of your salary cap, but tonight might be a night to try and fit him in, especially for these home games. Dwight is about 12 fantasy points higher at home than on the road. So against this Timberwolves team, which, yeah, Kevin Love gets a lot of rebounds, and Pekovic has been playing better, but defensively, they're not that strong down low, so I think Dwight looks like a good play tonight in this home game. As for Nikola Pekovic, a guy has been very productive at the center spot, and certainly is, you know, Darko, even whenever he comes back, he certainly is going to be coming off the bench. But do you really want to risk him in this game against Dwight Howard? I mean, yeah, he might be a cheaper option at the center position, but Dwight is, you know, the defensive player of the year for a reason. So I think I avoid Nikola Pekovic tonight. As for Ricky Rubio, come back down to earth a little. But if you look at his split stats, another guy who surprisingly actually plays better on the road than at home. So maybe you want to consider him. But I think the league has kind of figured him out to a point. He definitely is not a shooter. You can lay off him. And if he's making his shots, he's going to be one of the toughest guys to guard in the league, but he cannot consistently make jump shot. That was a criticism coming into the league, and yeah, he got off to a nice run early on, but he's definitely kind of slowed things down just a little bit. Bobcats and 76ers, this game is in Charlotte, and Corey Maggette is back in the starting lineup for the Bobcats. I mean, if that means anything to you, I honestly cannot recommend ever taking Bobcats right now, because look at this. They're averaging 77.3 points per game in their last six games. And now they're going against Philadelphia, who's one of the best defensive teams out there. I mean, they might be lucky to get like 60 points tonight. They're that bad. And the problem with this is it's tough to grab any Philly guys. A, because it's probably going to be a blowout and you don't really know who's going to be in there at the end. And the second thing is I talk about all the time is just the crazy depth that they have. The one guy who seems to be getting the most consistent minutes and they don't really don't have a top-notch backup point guard, and that's Drew Holiday. You know that he is going to be in the game come crunch time because they don't have any other options. The same can't be said for a guy like Lou Williams or Thaddeus Young, who, if they're hot, they'll keep them in the game. But if they're not, they won't be afraid to turn to an Evan Turner. So I like Drew Holiday, maybe the one guy I'd consider. He's had three good games out of the last four, and that's probably the only exciting thing to consider in this matchup, which is should be an absolute blowout. Jazz and the Hornets still have tons of injuries. You got Eric Gordon, Jarrett Jack, Carl Landry, Jason Smith, Chris Kaman was banged up the last game. And this gives opportunity to guys like Grievous Vasquez, who he gets it done statistically when he gets minutes. But the thing is, it's never pretty. He's kind of one of these ugly guys who, you know, gets his stats at the end of the day, but it's never an enjoyable sight to see him accumulate them. The guy who is good on this team is Trevor Ariza. He has coming off a 26.9 board, five assist game versus Portland, and he's by far the best player that they have going right now. And he's got to have big games, and he's definitely one guy I would consider in this matchup against the Jazz, who are coming off their second game in a back-to-back-to-back. So I wouldn't be surprised if they get a big lead, or maybe even if they don't, to kind of monitor the minutes, because tomorrow will be the third game in three nights. But with that said, Big Al Jefferson, great game last night, 21-15-4, and he is just a star. He is just a really great player. Memphis, I'm not sure if you caught the game yesterday against Utah, but they had the ugliest jerseys I have ever seen in a professional basketball game. Now, they weren't their typical, you know, Memphis Grizzlies jerseys. They were obviously some throwback thing to maybe the ABA or something, but they had these like bright yellow jerseys with these lime green shorts. And they looked like the Washington Generals. It was just so hideous. So whoever made that decision, bad, bad decision. I know you want to be throwback. You want to, you know, get back to the history. But you're not going to sell any of those things because they were awful. But the one thing to consider in that game, Gordon Hayward had a nice game for them. I wouldn't really expect a repeat performance from him necessarily, but if you want to go that route, you probably could. Maybe one guy to look at with the Hornets is Emeka Okafor, especially if Chris Kaman is out, kind of monitor that. But if he is out, Okafor could get another like 39-40 minute game like he had the other day. And when you play that many minutes, you're going to put up some decent stats. So could be a cheaper option at the center position for you. Bucks are at home to play the Miami Heat, and the Bucks actually have played the Heat very well in the past, and they're usually a pretty decent home team, but they haven't been playing great right now, and I've got a hunch Miami is going to blow them out in this game. Drew Gooden's been pretty solid the last couple weeks. The Heat, though, usually defend the post pretty decent, so I'm not sure if I'm going to go there tonight, but again, depending on what site you're playing, the value might be too good to pass up. Dwayne Wade averaging 25 points per game over the last eight, shooting 54% from the field. That's a big number for him. I mean, 54% for a guy. Yeah, he takes it to the basket, but he does settle for jump shots. And when he's shooting at that clip, he's definitely getting it done. And he's clearly taking some of the production away from LeBron, who's still good. He's still better than 95% of the NBA from a statistical standpoint, but he just hasn't been like the most statistical dominating player that we've seen in a single season like he seemed to be when Wade was gone there for a little while. So maybe his price is going to come down a little bit, but here's the thing to consider. LeBron averaging 31 points over his last 13 games in Milwaukee, and also had 55 once in a game at the Bradley Center. The guy to look for on Milwaukee, you can't deny the production, Ersin Ilyasova. He's gone for 30 in two of the last three and gone over 20 fantasy points in six of the last seven. So he is doing some work. And Brandon Jennings is in a huge shooting funk. I just don't think you can touch him until he gets out of it. Last game, he was 3-for-14 from the field against Orlando. Clippers and Mavericks should be a great game. I'm not sure which way to go on a fantasy perspective. The obvious guys Chris Paul. I mean, 21-9 over his last four. Blake Griffin has had five straight double-doubles. I mean, those two guys, you can't really go wrong with, especially Paul. It seems like, especially in any tight game, this guy is going to put up huge stats. The time you want to avoid him is when they go against the lower-level teams that they could blow out after three quarters. But he's been solid pretty much since he's come back from that injury. Dirk Nowitzki's red hot, finally looks to be in shape, 32 fantasy point average over his last seven, so you can still find him fairly cheap on some sites, considering the name that he brings to the table. But besides those three guys, it's tough to go anywhere else. I mean, even a guy like Delonte West has had a nice game here or there, but there's no consistency to him. Same with DeAndre Jordan, a guy who looked like he was going to have a big year and then suddenly went into a big swoon. So not a very impressive, you know, front line there. So maybe Jordan kind of breaks out tonight. But again, I'm not going to recommend any of those guys. Last game tonight, the Suns and the Warriors. Steve Nash, the guy's 38 years old, still somehow getting it done. And the amazing thing is he's doing it with, like, absolutely terrible teammates. I mean, if you look at the 2 through 12 on that roster, it's got to be one of the worst out there. I mean, he is playing at such a high level right now with not a whole lot of help. One guy who is starting to play better is Channing Frye. He's had 32, 23, 38, and 23 over his last four games. So, and those are fantasy points, so he's definitely been doing better. Monte Ellis had a nice game yesterday. Wasn't surprised by that. He usually does well against Houston. And he has a pretty decent track record against Phoenix at home, averaging 30 points per game in those. And that's not overly surprising. Phoenix doesn't play the best of defense. But Grant Hill did a pretty good job the other day. I don't know if he'll be the one guarding Monte Ellis or not. Klay Thompson, another guy for the Warriors who's cheap and starting to shoot the basketball a little bit better. I think he's 7 for 10 from three-point range. Again, just like Jason Richardson, who I mentioned earlier, tough to really think that they can necessarily keep the hot shooting up at that pace. But if you're looking for a cheap option, he seems to be getting more confidence, and Mark Jackson's been giving him a few more minutes. So that's the rundown of the NBA games tonight. Best of luck. So let's move on over to college basketball tonight. Again, you got games on Draft Street, FanDuel, and Daily Joust, all different scoring. FanDuel, of course, all categories, including blocks, steals, and turnovers. Over there on Draft Street, only points, rebounds, and assists, and on Daily Joust, just points scored. So whichever scoring format fits you, go there, give it a try. I'm going to look at Draft Street tonight, put a team together there. I'm usually not a fan of playing daily fantasy when there's so little games because you risk so much overlap on here. But, you know, I can't stay away. There's not a whole lot going on tonight, so what the hell. But the one recommendation I will make, especially looking at Draft Street, is obviously there's two guys who have salaries way higher than everybody else tonight, and that's Thomas Robinson and Royce White of Iowa State. And Robinson is a man amongst boys. I mean, he is huge. But here's the problem. I don't have a problem taking high-priced guys when you've got like 23 teams to pick from. Because somewhere along there, there's going to be undervalued guys, underpriced guys that you can slip in and kind of, you know, make up to afford the expensive guys. But when you only got six teams out there, it's tough to find that. So my recommendation to you is if you're going to play college basketball on Draft Street tonight, to avoid the overly high-priced guys and go the mid-range way. Because therefore, you know, you don't want to risk, Thomas Robinson could go off for a monster game. But if he doesn't, then you actually have no chance because your lower tier guys, you know they're not going to come through. But the middle tier guys, I think that's the route I'm going to go tonight. So here's a couple of guys I'm taking. I think one guy to definitely take a look at over there at Kansas is Jeff Witte, I think his name is. And this guy has definitely been doing work lately. The last two games, 32 fantasy points and 44 fantasy points, had an 18-point, 20-rebound game against Oklahoma State. He's only sitting at 10,000, so don't expect him to necessarily repeat those numbers, but he's a guy who I think you absolutely have to put in your lineup. I'm going with Pierre Jackson of Baylor tonight. 14K is a little bit more expensive than I necessarily like to spend, But here's a guy who definitely can score and is coming off a very lousy game against Missouri. He's back home. If you look at his split stats, you know, he's pretty solid at home and on the road. And against Iowa State, I expect him to have a nice game for the Baylor Bears because people just were really just nailing them from a criticism perspective. So I think Pierre Jackson comes back with a nice game. I'm also going to look to Scoop Jardine over there at Syracuse. And the thing about Syracuse is they've got lots of good players. It's just you never know what night which guy is going to step up. And last game it was clearly Jardine. I mean, if you look at his game log, he hadn't scored double figures for the past three games. He goes for 21-6-2, a nice 32-point performance. And you kind of wondered, do you really want to go back-to-back? But his salary, only $9,600, so pretty decent over there on Draft Street. So I'll give Scoop Jardine a look tonight. And then the last guy I think you got to consider is over there at Louisville. His name is Shane Benahan, and this guy has definitely been hitting the glass. I mean, he has been a rebounding machine, been in double figures three out of the past four games. He's been consistently in the 20s, had an off game against West Virginia, but that's not overly surprising. They are definitely a team that's strong down low. And Syracuse, on the other hand, you got guys like Fab Mello, and then, again, they've got a lot of depth as well. But I think Shane Benahan, a home game against Syracuse, obviously, who's one of the top teams in the country, I expect him to have a great effort tonight in rebound. And again, his price, only $13,000, maybe a little bit high, but considering the matchup, I think he'll be playing lots of minutes and do a good job there for Louisville. So there's just a quick rundown of college basketball for tonight. Best of luck in your matchups there as well. I want to say thank you to my good friends at Daily Joust. Please give them a try. If you haven't tried a solo survivor tournament, I think I heard that they're starting one up on Tuesday. So the best way to do that is to win a solo contest tonight, because basically you have to have won one in the past 7 days. And if you did, then you're eligible to play in the solo survivor tournament, where, of course, whoever's the last man standing on Survivor Games in the NBA wins that $250 prize and an extra badge an extra entry into the Super Joust. So a big reason to go give them a try tonight over there on Daily Joust. Also, the NHL, they get their live scoring feed directly from the league. That means you get real-time statistics in the plus-minus and in the hits category. A lot of other sites don't have that. And like I mentioned before, the Super Joust is only a couple of months away. Still plenty of time for you to get your spots in the Super Joust Part 2, where you've got a $10,000 prize pool and a pair of NBA Finals tickets for somebody. So the only site putting that promotion on in their Daily Joust, great sponsor here of the Roto Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix.
Across the pond, they call it whinging. To us, it's just good old-fashioned griping, moaning, complaining, and bitching. Here's Box Beef.
Okay, time for Box Beef for today, and my beef is with the world of fashion. Now, not necessarily, you know, celebrities in fashion and stuff like that, because those guys, you know, they're crazy. They can wear what they want. I mean, did you see what Fergie wore to the Grammys? She basically wore a see-through dress where you could just basically see her underwear. I mean, I'm not complaining about it, but, like, you're never going to see anybody walking down the street wearing that. But nonetheless, I went to a wedding this weekend. Everybody gets dressed up. It was a great time. And the biggest perk about having a pregnant wife is the fact that when you go to weddings, open bars, and situations like that, you got your designated driver. Because a lot of times at weddings, you gotta, you know, you want to have a good time, but you got to be safe. You know, you don't want to have too many and drive home. But when you got the wife who's got the pregnant belly, you know she's not drinking. So that is one of the wonderful, wonderful things. So safe to say Saturday night was a good time. But today's beef, again, it's about some of the fashion I recognized at the wedding, because everybody dresses up and looks nice. But there were two guys in particular who ended up wearing bow ties. Now, they weren't wearing tuxedos with bow ties, because for me, that's like the rare exception where I think the bow tie is acceptable. Now, personally, I don't like it. I would normally get just a regular tie with my tuxedo, but kind of traditionally, it's not uncommon to see. But very few people can pull off the bow tie. And I'd say like 95% of people can't pull off the bow tie. And these guys tried. And to me, it's like, you know, again, I'm not the fashionista here. You know, I don't sit and watch, Queer Eye for the Straight Guy all day long and learn how to dress nice and stuff. I don't know that. My wife watches those shows, so maybe I've picked up a few things along the way. But to me, if a guy is wearing a bow tie, he's basically a douche. He's saying, look at me, I'm wearing a bow tie. Look at me, I know how to tie a bow tie. There's no other reason to wear a bow tie except to get attention. So do me a favor and don't wear bow ties. It's like Ken Rosenthal, the guy for Fox. The sideline reporter for their baseball games now wears bow ties. Like, why do you do that unless you want to be known as the guy who wears the bow tie? Because it's so freaking distracting. And it's like, these people, would you rather be known? Like, Bruce Bowen, there's a perfect example. This guy was like the most annoying basketball player you could find. Now, he was good at defense, but you ask anybody out there, you couldn't find a guy in the NBA who didn't play with Bruce Bowen who's like, yeah, that Bruce Bowen, what a great guy. He was like a dirty player and this and that. And, of course, he goes on TV and tries to pull off the bow tie. He can't do it either. The only guy who I think can do it is Dahani Jones. He's the only guy I've seen who can pull it off. But the bottom line is, don't go to a wedding and wear a bow tie so people can look at you and think you're cool, because you're not. You're a douche. And to be known for wearing a bow tie is not something you want to be known for, Ken Rosenthal, because let's face it, you look at a guy like Craig Sager, he might be a good sideline analyst for TNT. I don't even pay attention anymore. I don't even know if he's good. But you know what I know that he's known for? Bad-looking sport coats. I mean, that's his legacy that he's going to leave. I mean, my question is it better to leave a bad legacy, like bad-looking sport coats, or no legacy at all? I think my thing is no legacy at all. Just do your job. Don't make people pay attention to you, and don't try and stand out in that sense. So that's just my opinion, my thoughts on that, and that's Fox Beef for today. But ladies and gentlemen, I'm out of here. I'm back again tomorrow. More NBA games than today. Full slate there. We're also going to talk some hockey later in the week. So for you puckheads, we'll give you some good information, because I know a lot of you asked for that. So we appreciate you checking us out. We'll return again tomorrow. It's been the Roto Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix, presented by Daily Joust. Follow us on Twitter at Roto Grinders. Subscribe to us on iTunes. And until tomorrow, everybody, have yourself a great evening.